Next question.
I got a guy over here. Excuse me.
Split yourself, Danny.
Is the pin titanium, and is there a G limit for the pin?
I don't know of any limit for the pin itself. I'm sure there is, but the G limit on it's nine positive. So
next,
go ahead.
That's how you get up.
Are there any F4U5s still flying?
Yeah, there's one right over here. It's one.
It doesn't have the radar dome on it, I don't believe. No. And that's the way you expect to see a 5, is with the radar on it. Mm-hmm.
Did you fly one? I would like to talk to you after the program, please.
Well, you ought to come down here and talk. So.
Since he brought it up, how many veterans do we have? I'd like all the veterans to stand up at this point and be recognized. Any war, anytime, anywhere. Thank you very much. That's the reason we do this, is to honor you guys and what you did.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun with all these airplanes to bring them out and have the veterans, somebody come out and show their family, this is an airplane I flew, or this is one I worked on. You know, I was the prop mechanic, armor, or whatever. That's makes it all worthwhile.
And that's the point I was trying to make with the reenactors. That, you know, during war, I think it was 9 support people for each person who was in combat. And it's that's the way it is. There were a lot of people who worked their tails off day and night keeping these things going.
Well, that's just the mechanics and all. There was a study done I read not too long ago that the British looked at, and for one Spitfire, there's 99 people in the chain. That included cooks and cleaners and paperwork people and all that. So for every Spitfire pilot, there was 99 people up the supply chain. So,
wow. That's
amazing.
More questions? Surely we haven't been that informative.
Does your dual seat aircraft also have dual controls?
No, it doesn't. It's just a seat.
Actually, it was an add-on. The armor plate you removed.
Right, the armor plate's partially removed, cut out and around, and has a huge back seat back there. When you're looking at it, it doesn't look like much, but it's real roomy. It's got good size windows and headphones and all that back there. So.
How about Danny?
That's our plant, Scott. Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier. Yeah, we do paid rides in the airplane. It's the only Corsair that I know of that's on the FAA-approved rides program. So we do rides in it. It's available if any of you want to put that on your bucket list.
Are you doing any up here?
We're not really set up.
Yeah.
We might be able to work one in here or there. The ride's $24.95. That's with the decimal point at the end, as Chuck says. But that keeps the airplane going. One of the amazing things about the Corsair, I think, is, everybody, the bucket list P-51, there's so many, everybody loves the P-51. It's the greatest thing after World War II. Well, God, there's, got to be 200 of them or so flying. And the Corsair, there's 15 or so flying. So it's pretty rare. And you can get rides in a Mustang. There's many of them out there doing rides, but this is the only one that you can do a ride in a Corsair. But the Corsairs, the prices of them have just gone up so much.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
We won't get into prices. It makes makes me sick. If I could buy back every airplane I've ever sold for what I sold it for, we could have retired earlier. Anyway, you have another question, Dan?
Yeah. Okay, the pilot, he wants to know if you trash talk Mustangs and if you've ever got into a scuffle with a Mustang.
We have a lot of fun.
Pilot, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we fly Mustangs as well. But, I mean, that's one of the fun things we get to do is, is, I mean, you get to do some trash talking, and there, you know, there may or may not be some beers involved afterwards. But, yeah, so you want to do your best against your buddies.
I think the biggest advantage of a Mustang is that you can fly it with a white suit and expect it to be reasonable when you get out. You can't do that with a Corsair.
That's true.
You're going to get oil on you somewhere, somehow. That's just, if you're not getting oil on you, you probably don't have enough oil in it.
Yeah, talk about the difference in the airplanes. I've flown a P-47 also, and had somebody ask me, you know, which is better. They were arguing, a big group was arguing about it. And I said, well, this P-47 shot down a Mustang in the soccer war, so that's the only thing I know of. So depends on the pilot, obviously.
How about it? Any more questions, Danny?
Yeah, he wants to know the difference in the engines in the different model Corsairs.
They're all the same. It's all a 2800, you know.
Different dash numbers.
These are all the CB3s, most
and different,
of them.
Different power output.
Yeah, if you have one of the early ones, it's not going to be as powerful as the CB3s.
Now, Bill, was there not a 4360 on one model of a Corsair?
The F2G, which was what they call the corncob Corsair.
Right. That was a super Corsair, and I think they only made like 12 of those. So there's just a handful made, and, of course, there's been a couple of racing. They had the 4360. They designed that to come up with something to go against the kamikazes, and in the meantime, the Bearcat came out, and a couple other things that far outdid the Super Corsair, so they stopped production.
Yeah.
We have a lady.
Why is it called Whistling Death?
I didn't hear it.
Why is it called Whistling Death?
The Whistling Death.
If you look at the inlets on the oil cooler, and it's also inlets to the carburetor in there, when you're in a dive or going high speed, it creates a whistle. And when we're flying them during the air shows, we've got several of them here. I think this is the most I've seen in a long time. But you'll hear them on the pullout. There will be a definite whistle, and it's due to the inlets and the leading edge.
It's quite impressive. It does whistle. Say again.
What's V&E on it?
What's V&E?
Depends on how much guts you got, I guess.
Different ones are different. It's like Stuart's saying 355, that sounds about right. There's a little red line on there that you don't go towards. But
supposedly it would do 400
It'll
miles
do 400.
An hour.
That's level. That's up at altitude and all that. But you're not going to be indicating that much when you're up at altitude. You're going to be indicating pretty low.
So. Bill, if I may, mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about Dr. Bill. I want to thank you, Bill, for being a moderator all these years. It has been my duty to schedule the moderators, and I think I did a wonderful job today. I'm not trying to rush you, but anyway, I want to thank you, Bill. And
thank you. Actually, I have a lot of thanks for a lot of people, because I have had an opportunity to fly some truly great airplanes, and it's. But the main thing is I have met truly great people. And it's not people who are famous. It's people like the ones who are sitting here who share my interest. And that Paul Pobrezny said it better than anybody I know. Paul always said, the airplanes got you here, but it's the people that bring you back.
Absolutely.
And we thank you all.
Absolutely. Bill? Bill is a mover and shaker in the Warburg community. He has flown so many different types of airplanes, including the B-17 you see flying overhead here. That's the EA's airplane, aluminum overcast. And I was sitting home one day, 20 years ago, and Bill called me at home, and he said, Danny, I understand that you got quite a bit of radial engine time. I said, yeah. Bill, I flew him in the Air Force, and my first airliner was radial. He said, how much tailwheel time you got? My blood pressure went up, because I knew where he was going. And he said, would you like to fly the B-17? And I took about a micro millisecond to answer that, yes, hell yes. And I did it for 20 years, and it's been a wonderful experience. Thank you, Mr. Bill.
Oh, you're welcome.